KBOO audience, and our thanks to you, the members of the KBOO Foundation, for bringing us so very close to our spring membership drive goal. If you missed it, why not push us over the top at kboo.fm? You click on the word donate at the top of the homepage. And now, this.
Preacher turned atheist John Loftus takes on Christian apologists.
I mean, these are all shams. These are all lies. Even when exposed, they apologize, but they say, but so many people became Christians as a result of it, that it's worth it.
We talk about his book, How to Defend the Christian Faith, Advice from an Atheist. Listen to weekly podcasts on kboo.fm/progressive spirit.
Cascadia. Today is Friday, May 6th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, Real Community Radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. And today, weather for today and through the weekend, sunny, highs around 81, and a little bit of wind, 6 to 11 later on, and the day could gust up to 18 for tonight. Mostly clear skies with a low around 56. And again, same in the way of wind gusting up to 22, perhaps. And for tomorrow, through the weekend, it looks like we've got sunny skies on Saturday and a high of 82. And for Saturday night, however, slight chance of drizzle later on, and clouds massing overhead, lows around 53. And again, that same wind pattern of mild winds to start out with, gusting up to 18 for Sunday. Then chance of showers increases, more overcast skies in the offing, and high around 65, wind 6 to 9 Sunday night. Overcast finally gets the clouds together, and it must be like herding cats. And low around 49. We've got a couple of guests today. We're very fortunate to welcome back James Henry to KBOO's airwaves. As many people have taken note of, the U.S. economy seems to be primed to create some strange situations, and James Henry is here to talk a little bit about that. More and more we see money flowing in directions which can't be accounted for. I want to welcome James. Thank you so much for being back with us today to talk about that strange seeping sound that we hear on Wall Street.
Well, I'm glad to be with you.
Yeah, we're so glad to have you back. And you've written extensively on this with characteristic dark humor, because that's about the only kind that we see much of. Like, it's a little bit like dark matter. It's what's not there that has to be there if anything else is there. Money in America today seeps out into offshore tax havens and so forth. But the strange thing is that the 1%ers seem to be sitting on vast reserves of cash. What accounts for this pattern?
Well, there's a global haven industry that's grown up since the 70s. It's basically set up to provide financial secrecy to the world's wealthiest tax dodgers, as well as many kleptocrats, public officials help themselves to the public treasury. I've been involved in the Panama Papers stuff recently, and we've seen concrete examples of this. More than 200,000 companies that were offshore companies registered in places like the BVI and Cayman Islands, Panama, and nobody knows who owns them. Turns out that the files, when they were examined, we found out that, you know, we found more than 150 public officials from around the planet. And the analysis is still going on, but cronies of President Putin and the Chinese president, and the Prime Minister of Iceland, a lot of public officials turned up, more than 28 heads of state. So the money's flowing out of the United States, but it's also flowing into the U.S. because we turn out to be a fairly big tax haven, and you can set up these offshore companies and then invest or through onshore companies like Delaware, and nobody knows who owns there's no beneficial ownership registration. Finally, just today, actually, the Obama administration has announced some new regulations that are going to crack down on this very late in the day in his administration. A lot of this new transparency that he's talking about with respect to U.S. companies formed in places like Delaware will require the approval of Congress. So this really is a kind of a global industry that we call the haven industry, and it's been designed to help not only tax dodgers but also corrupt officials and arms dealers, drug dealers. It's really like the Star Wars bar scene. You see every conceivable kind of felony being committed, and they're all basically sitting around this facility called financial secrecy.
Basically, it's like Congress, then. It sounds like what you're saying. But my question, yeah, though, I really want to ask this. This intrigues me. Is there is talk of China imploding? Then they've certainly been. It seems that whenever a nation's economy starts to tank, they use the last few trillions to build up the military, and we certainly do see that in the case of China. If that 9% growth that had been announced in past years turns out to be a fiction and an artifact of Chinese, the way that the Chinese report on these things, what happens to the money in the tax havens?
Well, one of the big findings we just had this week, published estimates at about 12 trillion of the 30 trillion or so that's offshore flowed out of developing regions, including China. China is the top of the list in terms of offshore so-called private flight wealth. And that's as of 2014, about $1.6 trillion out of China.
Are you there? Hello? It seemed James Henry, I think we've lost James Henry. We're going to go straight to our next guest then and wait and see what happens. Ed Cheney is back with us. He is, of course, the center of the Northwest Resource Information Center himself. He is the founder of this incredible organization. He has been looking at the Columbian Snake River Plan since before there was a plan, and in fact, since there were so-called regulatory agencies charged with protecting these waters for First Nations, for the name of conservationists, and in the name of habitat, all in. Good morning, and thanks for being with us today. We're really glad to hear from you.
Yeah, good morning.
Yeah, we're going to have to, this is because of Care Cascadia's very short time, made even shorter today by a number of phenomena. But we're going to have to talk a lot more about it. But just to get things rolling, yet another fifth rejection of the federal Fed's plan. for these rivers. What is it that, you know, this is a classic. What is it about no that they don't understand? Have they ever even looked at the conditions on the ground, at the scientific opinions? What would you like to see? You've been at this long in this game, a lot longer than any of these other these people now who are apparently calling the shots. What would you like to, ideally to see happen?
Well, I'd like to see the federal agencies do their job, but that's not going to happen. It hasn't happened in 40 years. It's not going to happen unless, and it's not going to happen when the court just can, usually three strikes you're out. Here it is, five strikes. Well, you come back to bat again in a couple of years, and we'll give it another shot. It's like, you know, they're having Lucy hold a football again for Charlie Brown. You know, this is an endless deal, and of course the federal agencies figured this out a long time ago. They're exploiting the administrative defense doctrine, deference doctrine, which means simply that unless you catch Bonneville and the Corps having sex with a male goat, it's not arbitrary and capricious if they kill one of the world's most valuable, irreplaceable resources. And so it's a good decision that we got out of the district court, but it's more of the same, frankly. And what we need is a lightning bolt. I'm referring to Judge Bolt, who finally got so fed up with the state that he simply told them, this is what you're going to do, and he gave the tribes half the allowable harvest of Columbia River salmon. So we got a good decision out of the court. This is not the end. This is kind of the briar patch that the federal agencies were hoping the court would throw them into because it bought them more years.
Yeah. With talking about that and getting back to, of course, First Nations interest in the river, there's no accident that the Confederated tribes, the Yakima, Matilla, and Warm Springs have all together have. They've signed treaties regarding the future of particularly the Snake River, but the Nez Perce have stood solidly on behalf of their people, their habitat, many, many hundreds, if not thousands of years of time in this region, and they are set to defend the Snake River for the long haul, the four dams. They feel that that's it, that they have to go. Can you talk a bit about this, about the Nez Perce and what accounts for they're taking a stand?
Well, what the Bonneville Power Administration did, and this is just all a matter of record, you can find it on NRIC's website, they spent about $1 billion and it's heartbreaking, but it's just reality. They bought a lot of Indian tribes, and I mean literally bought them, and bought their silence and their support for preserving the four lower Snake River Dam. Nez Perce, they tried desperately to get the Nez Perce to buy into the bribe, and the Nez Perce said no. And I mean, they make you feel good about me, makes me feel good about having spent 20 or 30 years helping tribes defend their treaty reserve rights. Breaks my heart that the lower river tribes sold out so easily.
Yeah, that is one of the shameful and disgraceful elements in this whole equation that people don't talk about, but we should. We should know who exactly who it is who is defending the rivers and who isn't. Now let me
interrupt you. So
yes,
I want to make sure that I'm. What I'm saying is, I said it broke my heart the tribes took the bride. It enrages me that these creeps at Bonneville Power Administration used public money to bribe impoverished Indian tribes to go along with something so horrendous. But they got away with it. The Obama administration didn't do anything. And the press, you know, is silent. They don't want to talk about this. Everybody, it's hear no evil, speak no evil, report no evil, because it's the Northwest Big Short. Everybody's on the take. Not everybody, but almost everybody. The states, federal agencies, and many of the tribes are just on the take.
And that's something that you've been in this game for a long time. You are virtually the Northwest Resource Information Center. And now, as we begin to wrap up the show for today, and for the week, I want to commend listeners' attention to the website for the Northwest Resource Information Center. That's NRIC. You can look it up online. It has been defending habitat here in Cascadia for, as you said, 25, 30 years. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for the work that you do. And please come back and talk with us again in the near future. Thanks again.
I look forward to it.
And we thank also James Henry. We'll try to get James back on the show soon. I'm not sure what happened there, but this has been Air Cascadia for Friday, May 6, 2016. Sam Parrish, Engineer University. Thanks, Sam. Kathleen Stevenson.